My heart, but I brought some folks with me to thank you. So everyone is from Chosen 300. If you stand up and just turn around and give these folks a great big hand, all right? Normally there would be more of us, but it rained this morning, and rain affects us a little bit more than affects other people, so we're very glad that as many of us could have come out. I also want to thank God for my lovely wife being here, the most beautiful woman in all the world. She makes me smile. So, and I also brought my two sons. These are my twins, David and Jonathan. I did not make a mistake. They are twins. See, one, they're designed very specifically. One will cut you low and one will cut you high if you try to jump with me, okay? But also, there's one special guest that I have with me. Where's Eddie? Eddie, where are you? It's Eddie and his lovely children are here. Eddie is from Liberia. You know, we do work all around the world, and you support us with that, but we just returned from Liberia about a month and a half ago, working with the Franconia Mennonite Church and just expanding the work of Christ over there. There's now 275 children enrolled in school that have never been enrolled in school before, so we're excited about what God is doing. And one of the experiences I had in the village where he comes out of is that that women and children were just didn't have anywhere to go to the bathroom. There's no bathrooms in houses. And these women and children were going to the bathroom out in the open. And so part of the project that we're working over there is building latrines so that people can have a place to go to the bathroom. But we're really sincere about investing in that village. And there's a project that I'm very passionate about that I want to see happen. But there's a village called Kamatown that doesn't have any education in it at all, and we want to get that school up and running. So just pray for that, and anybody has about $9,000, we can make it happen, okay? All right, so we'll just believe God that he'll make a way out of no way. I just believe that he will. I was talking to a pastor this morning, and I was sharing with him, you know, what our deficit is, which is pretty high right now. And he says, "How are you taking on more projects?" I says, "I don't know, but God will work it out." I just have that much faith that God will provide for His work and help us carry out the work all around the world. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. All right, let's get to the Word of God. Thank God for the reading of scripture from the guy that I'm going to beat in ping pong today. By the way, I just want to remind you that I did bring the trophy with me. I still have it. It sits in my office very proudly. Okay. It's funny because I have these awards and plaques on the wall, but everybody always says, "What's that from?" I said, "That's when I declared war on sanctuary." Okay. Our key verse is found in the fifth verse of that fourth chapter. And it says these words, "Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand." I want to say that one more time. It says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand." Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you, God, for this opportunity to share your word. God, I have studied, God, but I need your strength. I prepare, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but God, I need your help. Lord, forgive me of my sins, forgive us of our sins, that we might hear and receive your word today. And we thank you, God, for the victory of your word. In Jesus' name, let us all say amen. Amen. Just turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, the Lord is at hand." Tell one more neighbor, say, "Neighbor, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Big fancy saying for simply that the Lord is soon to return. You know, a lot of us in church, we come to church and, you know, we read the Bible, we pray, we do this thing called Christianity, but I think a lot of us don't operate with the expectation that Jesus is coming back. The fact is that Jesus did die on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. And then 40 days later, he did ascend into heaven. But he says that the same way that you will see me going up is the same way that you will see me coming back, coming and descending in a cloud. But that imagery seems to be fading in what we have as our reality. And we have to bring that back to the forefront of our Christianity, that Jesus Christ is coming back. There's a message that I've been sharing over the last year, because I woke up one night and it just pounded me in my heart, pounding my spirit, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and the Lord is soon to return. I want to say that again, because I want you to get that in your heart today, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and the Lord is soon to return. When you think about it, if you knew Jesus was coming back today, what would you change in your life right now? Somebody said, "Oh, everything." I mean, the list is there. I mean, all of us look at our lives and we know that there is stuff that we need to move out of our lives. There's relationships that unfortunately we need to dump because they're bad for us, they're toxic for us. There's things that we do that we should not be doing. There's things that we say that we should not be saying. There's places we go that we should not be going. There's the way that we treat people that we should not be treating them that way. But we think that because there is another day, that we can do whatever we want in this day and then simply ask for forgiveness later. But we ought to live every single day, every single moment in time, that the Lord could come back at this next moment, at this next day, at this next hour, this next second. Can you imagine that if right now, as I'm speaking, the Lord just cracked the sky and he came back like a thief in a knife and we're done? If this was the moment, are you satisfied? Not so much is just God satisfied, but are you satisfied with the way that you're living, the way that you're talking, the way that you're serving, the way that you're giving God your best? In this text here, it challenges us. It says these words, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." It's very critical that we understand that God is soon to return. So the entire text challenges us with many different things that we should do with the expectation that Jesus is coming back at this very moment. If Jesus was coming back in this very moment, how should we respond? How should we live? And how should we worship? It begins in the fourth verse with this one word. It begins with one word. It says, rejoice. Let me try that again. Maybe I'll rephrase it and you'll understand what you're supposed to do at this very moment. In the fourth chapter, in the fourth verse of Philippians, it begins with one simple word. It is a command to us that with the expectation that Jesus is soon to return, it simply says, rejoice. Good. All right. Everybody got it, but this guy over here. Let's see. All right. Now, in the fourth chapter, in the fourth verse of Philippians, it begins with a command, and it simply says, rejoice. There you go. All right. Good. It is a command to us that regardless of what is going on in our life, regardless of what challenges we're facing, no matter what situations are in our life, if we have the expectation that Jesus is soon to return, even if it's this very moment, that every single moment of the day, we ought to rejoice and thank God for his goodness. That's why David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt." Let us exalt his name together. You should always have a praise on your lips. Praise and worship is not conditional or predetermined by how you feel or what is going on in your life right now. It says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. So every time that you wake up in the morning and you breathe, no matter what is going on, you ought to say, God, I just thank you for a brand new day. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for giving me a portion of my health and strength. You know, grandmom was from the South. My grandmom was from the South, and she would say words like this: Lord, I thank you that my tongue was not cloven to the roof of my mouth, or my bed was not a cooling board. The young people have no idea what I'm talking about. But she would thank him just because she woke up. Whatever the day brought, whether it was difficult, whether it was triumphant, or whether it was sad, she could still say, God, I thank you for giving me life, health, and strength. And we ought to come with that idea that because Jesus is soon to return, we ought to worship him with our very best, with the fullness of energy, with the fullness of joy, and with the fullness of expression, because God is a wonderful God and he's worthy of all the praise. Somebody say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And then this is where our key text comes in. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The word moderation is a 50-cent word. It simply means be kind. Be kind to all men. You know, I am challenged in our political environment of what is going on with people around the world when we deal with this immigration policy. Now listen, this is not a Republican message, this is not a Democratic message, this is a Christian message, that how we should treat the stranger. I just returned from Dinuba, California. Dinuba, California is a city that is about 25,000 people that is outside of Fresno. And coming 2018, we're actually opening, October 2018, we're opening Chosen 300 Dinuba, California. But what I was challenged with while I was there is that I saw the plight of Mexican people that have come into this country. Some of them, yes, have come illegally, but they are fleeing death. They are fleeing extreme violence, and they're fleeing challenges that we cannot understand or comprehend, but yet we in our patriotic society, and the fact that we have this privilege of being born in the United States, we think that we ought to block everybody from coming in. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe that every criminal should be sent back to where they came from. But I do believe that we have to create an avenue where people can have the same opportunity that we have. I was in a meeting a couple months ago, and Eddie was at that meeting with me, and one of the folks says that part of having the privilege, and I'm going to say exactly the same language that she said, I might get in a little trouble, but she says part of having the white privilege is that we ought to share with others. I said, no. Part of having privilege is not sharing, but giving opportunity, the same opportunities that we have with somebody else. And a lot of times we hold back those opportunities and try to give crumbs from the master's table. But giving crumbs from the master's table is not compassion. That's empathy and maybe sympathy, but compassion means to suffer with. That means I'm going to give a portion of what I have. I'm going to give what I have, and I might have to suffer so somebody else can survive. But we have to open the doors and realize that God has the blessings of God for everybody, and the gift of righteousness is to be extended to the whole world. When you read the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, there was a man named Cornelius. And Cornelius was an Italian. He was a Gentile. He was one quarter of me. I'm quarter of Italian. That's why I talk with my hands. And Cornelius had an encounter with Peter, but Peter had an encounter with God. And Cornelius was sent to go to Peter, but before he got there, Peter had an encounter with God, and the Lord put a sheet in front of him and said, listen, here's all these beasts, take it and eat it. And he says, wait a second, God, I don't eat anything common. He says, what I call blessed, don't you call common. And later on in that text, he says, don't you know that I now have learned that God is no respecter of person. And if God is no respecter of person, then why should we? Ooh, it's getting really quiet in here. In Exodus, the 22nd chapter, the Bible says this. He says, listen, be careful how you treat the stranger, because you were once strangers in your own land. when you study the history of the city of Philadelphia, I love history, I'm a history buff. In the city of Philadelphia, there's a building in the middle of center city of Philadelphia, it's called City Hall.
Yeah.
Have you ever paid attention to it? Okay, at the top of City Hall, there's a statue. It's of William Penn.
Yeah.
But you ever notice that there were four other statues right under William Penn?
Yeah. Yeah.
There are two Indians and two Swedes. Because they were already here before they got there. And if you look at the statue, it's very significant because it is pointed towards the northeast. It is pointed towards the northeast because originally they were supposed to point it towards the south, which was the commercial district, which was the source of economic power. But then they changed it at the last minute and pointed it towards the northeast, which is in the direction of Penn Treaty Park. And in 1683, that's where William Penn signed the treaty with the native Indians, but he did not go with a firearm. He came with peace, and he says, we are as one flesh. That's why me and Jim, we're brothers. He says, we are as one flesh, divided in two parts. And so this, in the Penn Treaty Park, there was a tree. It was called the Tree Elm. And under that tree, they signed the treaty. And then up until 1810, that tree stood there at Penn Treaty Park and was knocked down by a storm. They took seedlings from the tree and planted one at Haverford College, one at Pennsylvania Hospital, one at University of Penn, and there's one other tree. And the idea was to spread the spirit of the treaty throughout the region. And in 2010, they took seedlings from the grandfather of that tree and planted another tree back at Penn Treaty Park. And it was the idea that the true idea of brotherly love is not this, I'll be nice to you if you be nice to me. The idea of brotherly love is that I'm going to extend kindness for you, whether you deserve it or not, because God created you and because God loves you. Ah! Because God loves you, I have to love you. Because God died for you, I have to make sure that I offer sacrifice for you so that you might have the same opportunity that I have. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
You know, we get challenged because we live in a society that segregates us based upon our economic conditions. When you really think about it, you might think that you're spiritual, but all of us have this challenge. The reason why we want our kids to go to school out here is because there's better schools out here. Let's be real. The reason why we want our children to come to school in the suburbs is because the schools in Philadelphia suck. They're horrible. Their children in 12th grade are learning the same thing the children out here are learning in 9th grade. But we are so selfish as a society that we won't share our tax dollars with children in the city so they can have an equal opportunity. We're not interested in equal opportunity. We're not as interested in extending kindness. We have a selfishness that we want to take care of three people, me, myself, and I, and mine. But when are we going to get to the point where we let our moderation, our kindness, and our love, and our compassion be shared upon all men? We have this idea that it's not our fault that somebody else doesn't have. But we have a requirement to extend ourselves to the greatest degree. When the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, came, and as we are in this post-Pentecost season, when we deal with this, we understand that when they came and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke with tongues, miracle signs and wonders were done. But the Bible says also that all things were in common and no one lacked. We get scared of words like socialism, but true Christianity requires it. There is a substantial difference between communism and socialism. Communism is governmental force causing you to take away what you have, but socialism says, I freely give it because it's what I'm supposed to do. The views and opinions of this message may not be that of Sanctuary Church or Jim. All inquiries should be sent to me. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And the reason why is because the Lord is at hand. Then the scripture changes because it then goes into how we should bring our request. See, in order to bring your request to God, you can't effectively bring your request to God unless you do the rejoicing, unless you do the moderation. Because without the rejoicing and honoring God for who He is, and without extending aid to somebody else, why are you coming to God asking Him for something and He can't count on you to help anybody else? That's everybody moving their feet back. But then it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be anxious for nothing simply says, like the old songwriter said, you know, the gospel song, it really is not a gospel song, but it says, don't worry. Y'all know that song, good. It means don't worry about it. It says be anxious for nothing. But how you address the situation that's going on in your life, it says be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication. All supplication is prayer, but not all prayer is supplication. Let me say that again.
Amen.
Okay. Hey, say amen. Say it again. Okay, good. All right. All supplication is prayer, but not all prayer is supplication. Our prayer is our communication to God, how we talk to Him. That when we come before Him, we ought to come before Him first with a praise and with adoration. Jesus Himself, He says, listen, you want to know how to pray? Check this out. That's the Bryan Standard Version, okay? He didn't say check this out, all right? He says, listen, if you want to know how to pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It begins with the praise and an adoration to God. Then it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It hasn't got to your stuff yet. It's focused on worshiping Him and then the will of God being fulfilled upon the earth. Thy will be done on earth as the perfect will is already established in heaven, let it be manifested on the earth that everyone can be touched by the presence of your glory. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it. Now, God, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, realizing because we fall short of the glory of God, that His abundant grace and mercy is the priority of what we need, not our wants. That's what prayer is. So when we come to God, we come to Him with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. You know, my mother, who passed away about 5 years ago now, she helped me with this. When I was growing up, my mom had this beat up Chevy with rust on the side. I mean, I'm the youngest of 25. There were 11 different fathers. What you trying to say? What you trying to say? My mom was around the way. But anyway, I was a foster child. She cheated, okay? I tell you something funny. At my mother's funeral, I actually said that, and I didn't tell him the rest of it. And the people that knew us laughed. Everybody else was like, "Dad, your mom was wow." But my mom had a beat up gray Chevy out in the driveway, and I would look out in the driveway and see that Chevy. But on the side of the refrigerator, she says, "Lord, I thank you for my new car." Mom done went crazy. Mom done went crazy. I walk down the next morning, she's looking at it. Lord, I thank you for my new car. Ain't no new car out there. It's that beat up Chevy with the rust on it. But she began to thank God for the manifestation and what she needed, knowing that her car was breaking down and she needed to get us to and from. And I don't know how it happened, but soon and very soon, as she continued to thank God, God provided a way to get what she needed.
and it helped me understand this, is that when you come to God, don't come begging, come to God thanking. Say, God, I thank you for what you've already done. Thank you what you're going to do. But in the midst of my circumstance, in the midst of what I'm going through, God, I still want to thank you. Sometimes you just have a thank you fit for Jesus. You just start saying, thank you. Thank you for what you did last week. Thank you for what you're doing today. Thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for the miracles that you already happened. I know, God, I just want to say thank you. And if you get real crazy, just say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you! Thanking God. Thanking Him with thanksgiving. Now, after you have thanked Him, because you have already rejoiced, because you have extended kindness, because you have brought your request before the Lord, you now can have peace of God, which passes all understanding, because even though that you might be going through, you can still walk around with a smile on your face and thank God. You can say it's still, because no matter what I'm going through, in the city we say it like this, everything gonna be all right. Everything, no matter what I'm going through, I know that somehow, some way, the Lord is going to work it out. So then he says, listen, if you already rejoice, you let your moderation or your kindness be extended to others, you have brought your request to him, and you have the peace of God, then stop worrying about it. He says, finally, if you have something that you need to think about, think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The Lord is at hand. With every head bowed right now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Where you are in your spiritual growth, where you are in your life, where are you are in your relationship with Jesus, where are you in your service to Him? Are you just kind of going through the motions? Are you just expecting that you're going to live till 70 or 80 and die, and then we're going to send you to heaven? Or are you living with the expectation that Jesus could come back today? The first call I just want to make while your head's bowed and your eyes are closed is that if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you have not committed your life to Him, and you want Him to come into your heart, just lift your hand up and then down real quickly. If you want Jesus to come into your heart, there's a hand there. Is there anybody else that needs Jesus in your heart? There's other hands there. Yeah. If you realize that if Jesus came back right now and you're not ready to go to heaven, just slide your hand up and say, I want Him to come into my heart. And we see those hands. We see those hands. Amen. Someone should repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I admit that I was a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, I welcome you to live in me, in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, you just invited Jesus in your heart. Now, keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for 1 second. If you realize that you have not been living life to the fullest with the expectation that Jesus Christ is soon to return, just raise your hand and hold it there for a moment. And then I want you to start thinking about the things you need to get rid of in your life. Now, I want you to also think about the things that you need to add. Lord, we pray, God, for these hands here today. We pray, God, that the presence of the Holy Spirit would rest on them in a special way, that you would strengthen them for the journey in Christ. You would help them to rejoice and praise you always, that you would help them to extend kindness and let their moderation be known unto all men, regardless of who they are, what they believe, what their color is, Lord, where they're from, what their demographic is, what their nationality is, what their economic status is, but their kindness would be extended to them to the point of compassion. Lord, that they would be able to bring their requests to you, and that they would have the peace of God in their lives. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a great big hand for his word today. Pastor's coming back up. Just want to encourage you to continue to support our mission work all around the world as we help others. We do need your help, and I've been praying that your church would come and join our program for a long time. I'm still praying for that, okay? We have some wonderful slots that are available for you to take on, and these folks here, if you want them to come and join the program, clap real loud, all right? All right. We really want you. God bless you.